So, welcome everyone to the Young Israel of Woodmere. We are holding now by the 3 weeks, Bein HaMetzarim, the time from Shavuos HaPetam is leading up to the time of Tisha B'Av. It's a time of great mourning, a time of great sadness, and it's time to reflect on that great mourning and great sadness. So I wanted to share one thought that I had very late last night, which was basically a small thought that I ran by my wife, and it was basically torn apart and developed into the following. In the Svarim HaKadoshim, the Sefer Chasidus, they note an interesting parallelism. There are 22 days of the 3 weeks, right, spanning from Shavuos HaPetamas to Tisha B'Av. It took me a while to figure out how 3 weeks is 22 days, not 21. I don't get the whole math thing yet. There are also 22 days elsewhere in the year on the calendar. Those 22 days are the days leading up from Rosh Hashanah to the end of Sukkot, right? Those are both a span of 22 days. So the obvious parallel between those two things is that there's a time for tshuva in both scenarios, right? There's a time for tshuva during the 3 weeks. A person has time to mourn, fast, sit, reflect. And obviously the time of Rosh Hashanah leading up to Sukkot is also a time for a major tshuva. There's also the idea that 3 weeks is a terribly sad time. And hopefully we hope that it'll be flipped into Sasson, Besimcha, Moadim, Tovim, that these days will be flipped to happier days like those later on in the calendar, Rosh Hashanah through Sukkot. But I think there's a deeper idea, and it's an idea built up by Reb Leibel Eger, who was a grandson of Rabbi Kiva Eger, who went off the Derech and became a Chassid. Anyone listening online, I did quotations by Off the Derech. So Reb Leibel Eger develops an idea. I just wanted to sort of build it up a little bit more. It's interesting. There's a penetrating Ha'ara about the concept of Gullus and Geula, or suffering and redemption. I learned it first from Rav Tversky Shlita, Rav Meir Tversky. But I think the Rav Soloveitchik had this yesod as well. We tend to think of redemption and suffering, the interplay between the two, we think of redemption as the negation or the reversal of suffering. That's how we think of it. A person or a nation suffers, and eventually the suffering ends and becomes redemption, right? It just redemption pops in and overtakes. In truth, it's a much more beautiful, nuanced idea. The Pasuk tells us that we're supposed to eat a Karban Pesach, we're supposed to eat matzah, we're supposed to eat marah. And based on this Pasuk, Hillel developed a mitzvah that we do nowadays, an interesting chiddush, that we wrap the marah in the matzah and make a nice little sandwich. So Rav Tversky pointed out that this mitzvah appears to be anomalous, which is a word I only know from reading this article. It appears to be an anomalous mitzvah because there are two antithetical themes, going one against the other. The matzah represents our freedom. It's the bread we baked on the way out of Mitzrayim, and the marah represents the terrible suffering, the enslavement, the bitter persecution that we faced in Mitzrayim. And in fact, that dialectical merging of the symbols for redemption and servitude, actually occurs within the mitzvah of matzah itself. It's right there in the mitzvah of matzah itself, because we know matzah is redemption on the one hand. On the other hand, lechem oni, it's bread of poverty, bread of affliction. So I want to read you the words of my Rebbe. Upon reflection, this apparent anomaly points us to a profound, enhanced understanding of the relationship between suffering and redemption within Hashem's providential scheme. Redemption does not represent the end or negation of suffering, like we thought. Instead, it is the culmination of suffering. Redemption is an outgrowth rather than a reversal of suffering. Accordingly, matzah simultaneously symbolizes both suffering and redemption. Moreover, matzah and marah emerge because in Hashem's master providential plan, suffering forges redemption. B'nai Yisrael come out of Mitzrayim, from Gullus to Geula. It's not that the Gullus ends and the Geula begins. Everything, the entire experience of Gullus, that national experience, helped them develop a national identity. It built them up to a way that they were ready for Gullus, that Gullus could grow out of, and Geula could grow out of that Gullus. Just a mashal, which basically my wife gave to me, but a mashal to childbirth. I guess it makes sense that I couldn't think of that one on my own. But childbirth, there's a terrible amount of pain, there's a terrible amount of suffering, there's a terrible amount of pressure and hard work. And out of that comes the most wonderful thing in the world, a child, the next generation. Now, it's not pshat that a person suffers and suffers and suffers, and then, oh, he's rewarded with a present. No. Out of that very suffering comes the present. Out of that very suffering comes that redemption. The suffering is what builds up to the redemption. Just as a nice, cute story about that. So Rav Avadja was told that he was once sitting on a basin with Rav Eliashiv, and a certain avrich, a certain person in the kol, used to come by and give them svarim. He would publish a sefer every month, as they do, or every year, and he would give them a copy of the sefer. And Rav Avadja said to Rav Eliashiv, "You know, I'm jealous of this guy. He puts out a sefer every year. It takes me sleepless nights, days, hours of time, sweat, tears. It takes forever to write one tshuva, and then to write 100 tshuvas and put it into a sefer takes me another forever, and it takes me so long to put out my svarim. Think about Rav Avadja put out a lot of svarim in his life, but that's what Rav Avadja said. I'm jealous that it's so easy for him to write a sefer. For me, it takes so much toil, so much effort. Instead of Eliashiv, he said, that's true, but a human being, a woman, toils and sweats and pushes and works so hard to give birth to a baby, whereas a hen gives birth to an egg every day. He said, it's not the very effort that a person puts into producing that sefer, the very toil, the very amelos that he puts in, is what causes it to be so amazing, is what causes it to be so worthwhile. The gullus, the suffering, is what brings on the redemption. It is the growth of the redemption. Rav Kook has an amazing, amazing point. He says, he points to the words in davening, we say this in Pirkos Kriya Shema. So he says, it's not pshat that Hashem is Poel Gvuros, and he's Osei Chadashos, and he's Baal Mechamos. He's also Zorei Tzedakos. No. He says, Hashem is Baal Mechamos, Zorei Tzedakos. It's one sentence. Matzmiach Yeshuos. Out of the very Mechama, out of the very war, the turmoil that he puts in the world, is Zorei the Tzedakah. That's what grows the Tzedakah. That's what grows is Matzmiach, the Yeshua. Those very words, Zorei and Matzmiach, the growth of the Yeshua. Again, if you think of a mashal of a seed planted in the ground to grow a tree. You put a seed in the ground, what happens? The seed rots. Right, it gets destroyed, it's decimated. Then out of that rotting, disgusting little seed comes a beautiful tree, a beautiful plant. That's the gullus and the geula. The gullus is planted in the ground, it's a rotting seed, it's a little nothing, and that itself is the very thing that grows into the beautiful tree. Says Rav Kook, that's exactly what gullus and geula is, that's the interplay that we've been discussing until this point, that the gullus is what grows the geula, right? And they're not two different things that go one against the other, they're actually one forging the other. I think this is the deeper message, and I think this is what Rav Leibel Eger is really getting at. This is the deeper message behind this correlation between the 22 days of Gullus and the 22 days of Geula. It's the same 22 days. We put in these 22 days of crying, of sitting on the floor, of mourning, of avelus, of wishing for the Beis HaMikdash, of wishing for better, of doing tshuva, all these nebuch, these sad, sad days. 22 terrible days. And there's 22 days later on in the calendar that happen to be happy. They happen to be Geula. They happen to be tshuva. They happen to be amazing Hiskarvus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No. There's 22 days now, which they themselves can be the 22 days of Geula. These 22 days of Gullus, this rotting, mourning feeling, is what's going to give us the Geula. This suffering is the growth of redemption. We look around the world and we see, I mean, you only need a week in the news to realize what's going on in the world, outside of America, in America, in Eretz Yisrael. Nebuch, Jews are suffering, non-Jews, everyone's suffering. It's terrible. It's a horrible way to live. It's a seed rotting in the ground. But it's important to keep that perspective nationally as a Jewish people and individually as people ourselves to realize in our own lives that that very rotting seed is what's going to bring the fruits of Geula. That very rotting seed is Hazorim Bedima Berina Yiktsoru. We plant with our tears and we put the seeds in the ground with suffering, with Gullus, but ultimately Berina Yiktsoru, with happiness, with joy, with an amazing spirit of Geula, we will reap the reward. So I hope that our lessons about Tzedakah, but also our lessons about now reflecting ourselves for 3 weeks, and the lessons that we learned tonight about Zorei Tzedakos coming from Baal Milchamos, about redemption and suffering being one growing from the other, so that should help us over these 3 weeks to focus, to contemplate, to be introspective, and hopefully bring upon the Geula faster than we even imagine. Thank you.